Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Mouth of the Time podcast brought to you by the Shields Gazette. I'm Dominic Skerr, joined as ever by Miles Stauffer to discuss the latest transfer news and everything else surrounding Newcastle United at the moment. We're a few weeks into the transfer window now. Newcastle have made just one signing so far with Jakub Aminte joining from OB in Denmark. He'll be loaned out to Feyenoord from July 1st for the duration of the 2023-24 season. And Newcastle have also agreed a deal to sign 23-year-old AC Milan midfielder Sandro Tonali, which we understand will be confirmed very soon, potentially within the next few days. So that's how things sort of stand, the transfer state of play for Newcastle United. Miles, how are you feeling about it all and how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. You've got to remember it's still early days and not too many deals get done in June, with a few notable exceptions. Spoke about it before. Kabaya was done off the top of my head in June. It was great getting that one in that early. These deals, obviously, a lot of groundwork goes into them, and if you can get them done earlier, then great. But the reality is many aren't so easy. But to have Minty in and obviously a plan for him, great. And obviously Tonali, that looks to be a very good move as well. And to have that all but agreed, barring just waiting really on the Italy's involvement in the 21 Championship to finish, to get that formally announced and confirmed. I think the club's doing well.
Yeah, and when you start at the window, a defensive midfield position is probably a key target because we're sort of towards the back end of last season. Bruno, he's sort of tired, maybe injuries playing its part as well. He was the only person who could really play that sort of role. So to get a top target in like Tonali so early in the window is no doubt a positive sign, do you feel?
Yeah, I'm sure we spoke about it a few times last season. I think we've all wanted to see Bruno get higher up the pitch. Obviously, they've tried different things. We've seen kind of Longstaff play deeper. We've seen, obviously, Shelvey perform that role before he left the club. So it was an obvious area to strengthen. You know, it gives you so many options, really, in terms of having a double pivot and in terms of how you set the team up and how you kind of overcome the opposition. So, no, great pedigree. And this is, we've got to remember, since when did Newcastle United in recent memory recruit a Champions League semi-finalist? It's quite something to be going to these clubs and taking some of their best players. It bodes well. Let's hope for the rest of the window and next season.
Yeah, there've certainly been a thorn in AC Milan's side the last two summer windows after snapping Sven Botman up this time last year. But another sort of transfer saga, if you like, James Maddison from last summer. What's the situation regarding him? It looks like at the moment Newcastle are going to miss out.
Yeah, and it's obviously we understand, and it's been reported widely today that he's due for a medical at Tottenham. They've agreed a fee. What's been reported is 40 million plus add-ons. We don't know the extent of those add-ons. 40 million would look to be a good fee. And obviously, what we do know is last summer the club made two bids for him. Eddie Howe wouldn't speak about that at the time. But they had two bids last summer. They were rejected. The club was given some encouragement that they could get an agreement with Leicester and the player. Suggests Maddison was interested in the move last summer. That didn't materialise. They couldn't agree a fee with the club first and foremost, so he stayed at Leicester. It seems this summer Tottenham have made all the running in terms of Maddison. Obviously, Newcastle have been prioritising Tonali quite understandably. And we know he's a target and he has been a target. And we know how much Eddie Howe likes him. He spoke a little bit about him at the turn of the year, just before the Boxing Day visit to the King Power Stadium. But whether he was the right player to go after this summer, where, you know, after all, funds are going to be quite limited and that to spend the bulk of your transfer fee on two midfielders, that you can understand maybe the club's hesitancy. And the other strand to this, of course, is Maddison himself and what he wants. Was Tottenham his preferred destination? Could they, you know, could they match the wages on offer at Tottenham? Maybe not. So good luck to him there. I think he'll improve a Tottenham team, which certainly needs improvement. And Newcastle United, I'm sure they've already moved on to other targets.
Yeah. Do you think losing out on Maddison is a big big blow for Newcastle? Because we've spoken previously, there was always that question mark, no denying his quality, but always that question mark of where he would actually fit into Eddie Howe's side.
Yeah, there is that certainly. And I think it'll just depend on where the club could turn next. I'm sure we'd both love to see James Maddison play for this club. You know, he's a talent. Look at his stats from a poor team last season. They speak for themselves. Was he the right fit for the club, the team, the dressing room? We'll never know, I guess. But it'll be interesting to see how he performs for Tottenham next season. And it'll be even more interesting to see where Newcastle turn next.
Yeah, and one name where Newcastle could turn next has been linked since the back end of the season just gone, was RB Leipzig midfielder Dominik Szoboszlai, Hungarian, 22 years old, I think 11 goals in the Bundesliga last season for a good Leipzig side, granted, and won the German Cup as well, while also qualifying for the Champions League. So 22 years old, that's a lot of pedigree for a young lad. What do you make of that transfer sort of speculation regarding him?
Yeah, well, again, you've talked about pedigree, and that's exactly it. He ticks a lot of boxes, doesn't he? In terms of age, experience, ability, but comes with that again will be the fee, and he's not a player that's going to come cheap. And there is competition. I think Liverpool have been strongly linked with him, so it'll be interesting to see if the club does harden its interest in him.
Yeah, Liverpool's certainly active. He has a reported £61 million release clause in his contract that has to be triggered by the end of the month. You'd be surprised to see a club make a move in the next couple of days, but you never know. But if you're looking at, say, 50, 60 million for Szoboszlai and then the fee reported for Maddison, do you feel there's a bit of a discrepancy in the valuations, or do you think the valuations are justified?
Well, it's hard to say in terms of valuations with those kind of release clauses, isn't it, really? Because you would imagine if he does go, he'll go for less than that. But you're certainly buying potential with Szoboszlai, aren't you? Maddison, we've seen obviously a lot more of him in the Premier League. We know what he can do. So these are all quite difficult judgments that the club kind of has to make in terms of how it values players. And they go into quite a lot of detail in every aspect of a player's and off the pitch in terms of their character. And they've done a lot of work on the valuations as they have done in previous windows.
Yeah, and a big transfer, new name emerging this week, Tino Livramento from Southampton, right back, 20 years old, formerly at Chelsea. Newcastle pushing to get a deal done for him. What sort of your understanding of the situation was?
Yeah, it's clearly an interesting, you know, that other journalists have said talks are actually advanced. I think, again, the issue, as with Maddison, is going to be the fee. I think Southampton will be reluctant to let him go for the £15 million, which has been reported. He could be worth quite a bit more than that. That said, he's missed a year of football with a serious injury. He's only played a couple of games back at the end of last season. But sent again, bags of potential, a great athlete. He's got that versatility as well. He can play further up the pitch, can play as a left back as well. That's a position we also feel needs strengthening this summer. So again, he ticks a lot of boxes. And he's a player that the club will have watched, I'm sure, for some time.
Yeah, and it's an interesting one because Chelsea have sold them to Southampton for £4 million. They've got clauses, sell-on clauses potentially, which will then up what Southampton are asking. Chelsea also, I understand, have a buyback clause too, which you'd be surprised if they trigger, given they're trying to offload players. But yeah, it just makes things a little bit more complicated, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you wouldn't think this is necessarily a deal where it's a case of put £15 million on the table and the deal's done. You would think they're going to have to pay quite a bit more money to get him at this stage of the window, but then we're quite early in the summer, really, so and a lot can happen.
Yeah, and does it raise questions? Because in January, we saw Harrison Ashby come from West Ham, £3 million, and you thought he was potentially a natural successor to Kieran Trippier, young signing, bit of cover. We've obviously got Javier Manquillo as well. Does that sort of raise question marks for the future of not only Javier Manquillo, but Harrison Ashby as well in the short term?
Yeah, well, even before any move for Livramento, they've got four right backs. There's Trippier, there's Manquillo, there's Ashby, as you mentioned, and Emil Kraft. Obviously, in terms of Trippier, we know he'll be the first choice next season. Manquillo, I believe he will leave this summer. He's got 1 year left, so he either stays and signs a new contract or leaves in an ideal world. I think he'll want to move on and play football. Ashby, you wonder if a loan's best for him. Obviously, he didn't play. He's yet to play for the club following his January move. He has had injuries. Those have held him back. So that might be the avenue the club goes down with him. We know how highly Eddie Howe rates Emil Kraft. He signed a new deal last year. He did very well when he stepped into the team when Trippier had that injury shortly after his move. So you wonder where he fits into the plans. But of course, Kraft can also play at centre-half. So in terms of a squad, that versatility, again, it's something that Eddie Howe really, really likes in a player. Four left-backs plus potentially... four right-backs plus another potentially coming in. The numbers don't work there. You want to carry two or three tops into the new season. I guess what Livramento would have in his favour, he would fall outside the 25-man squad age as well. He's just 20, I believe. That's another kind of something else in his favour.
Yeah, and one player did fall out of the sort of 25-man squad due to his age last season was Anthony Gordon. Sort of stop-start spell at Newcastle for him, first half season since arriving from Everton. Did score on the last day. He's currently away with England under-21s, doing well with them. I know, Miles, you've been monitoring his progress there. But for Anthony Gordon, it's a big summer for him and a big season ahead as well.
Yeah, and it's a kind of balance in that, really. I think it's great to see him getting these games. He's getting the experience of the tournament. He's getting more experience in a different role. He's been played through the middle. He's done well. He scored a goal. He set one up in the first couple of games. So it's brilliant for him. But equally, he's going to need some rest at some point. And he'll have to have a rest before he comes back next month. And it depends how far England go. I think the final's on July 8th. So 1 or 2 weeks rest after that, he could be ready to join pre-season. So, yeah, you want to see him do well. And I think this tournament should do really well for him. He's spoken about in terms of his fitness. We both know how intense Eddie Howe's pre-season campaigns are, how hard they're worked in those six or so weeks to get them ready. He didn't have that. He was at Everton, obviously a very different set up there, different kind of structure to it all. So he's coming halfway through the season and he's admitted joined games. He hasn't felt fit enough. So he really needs a good pre-season, but he's ultimately not going to get a full pre-season. But this tournament should stand him good stead.
Yeah, the fitness thing has come up a few times with new signings, the likes of Alexander Isak as well at the start of the season. But slowly but surely, these players have adapted and hopefully Anthony Gordon's one of them who can really kick on next season. But we've discussed potential incomings. What's your thoughts on potential outgoings, Miles? You've mentioned Javier Manquillo. There's Alan Saint-Maximin almost every window. There's speculation around him. A few others as well. When you consider also the contract situation as well with the retain list getting announced a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, well, I think the club confirmed just before the end of the season that new contracts had been offered to Paul Dummett and Matt Ritchie. You would expect Paul Dummett to sign, possibly Ritchie too. Really great opportunity for them to be involved in a Champions League campaign. Alan Saint-Maximin's the big one, really. You know, if you look at kind of players on the fringes of the team, I think we can all accept that if everyone's fit, Saint-Maximin is not going to be an automatic or a regular starter in the Premier League. But he's on the fringes of that starting 11. And if you look on those fringes for players that could you could sell or going to, if needs be, he will be top of the list. He would command a fee. And of course, he kind of fueled that speculation, and not for the first time when he issued that statement a couple of weeks ago. So his career is at a turning point. It was a long and emotional statement. Again, a few strands to it. But he suggested his career was a turning point, and that got people talking again. Since been reports that he wants to stay. Conflicting reports, really. I know a lot of fans would like to see him stay. We've all seen what he's capable of for this club. Of course, last season he didn't play that much football because of injuries and the form of others. he's going to be certainly one to watch in the coming weeks and until we discover one way or the other where he's staying or going.
Yeah, well, it's not long now. 15th of June, Newcastle will be back for the first pre-season game at Gateshead. Not long to go, not far to go. And then it's Rangers, the Premier League Summer Series. So plenty to look forward to, Miles, in terms of the pre-season friendlies. What would you be looking for over the next month or so, and what will you be expecting to see from Eddie Howe's side?
Well, I think it'll be interesting to see the fitness and how they come back, first of all, the application. And that's the things that Eddie Howe will be looking at. And then, of course, hopefully we'll get a glimpse pretty early in the pre-season of Tonali. We'll have to see when that deal is completed. As I say, we're waiting for the conclusion of it, at least under 21 campaign, and when he actually starts work on Tyneside. I think that's what we're all waiting to see. And hopefully, by the time those friendlies come around, we'll have another player or two through the door.
Yeah, definitely. And five friendlies so far. Would you expect a couple more? Obviously, none at St. James's Park. Potential talk of a couple of friendlies towards the back end of July being organised. Potential Saudi opponents coming over. Would you expect some more friendlies to be announced?
Yeah, well, I think you're exactly right. You wouldn't be surprised if there's something along the lines of last year where they had, you know, had kind of back-to-back games or some kind of tournament at St. Yeah. James's, so everyone's going to get the minutes they need into their legs. You could be right. We might not just be looking at one friendly. We could have similar to last season in terms of what they did.
Yeah, definitely. And plenty to look forward to. So we'll have all the latest Newcastle transfer news, rumours, gossip and everything else in between over on the Shields Gazette website. You can also have all that news delivered straight into your inbox. Just visit shieldsgazette.com/newsletter to sign up to our newsletter. And for now, Miles, it's been a pleasure as always. And thank you everyone for listening to the Mouth of the Time podcast. We'll see you next time. Cheers.